Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
The visitors that came and this weekend, they had a good time, and they've been telling everybody that they've been saying nice things about you people. They have been, and I appreciate it. Not just the fact that they're saying it, but the fact that you guys give them something to remember. And I really appreciate that. So it's just good to be a part of that tonight. Well, I guess that I'll just take the rest of the service. I'll just teach and pray and everything like that. And you guys just sit and relax. Is that okay? Try to keep. Do you want my chair out of my office, Jimmy? Huh? It must be a Jimmy thing with just relaxing in church, right?
Yep.
Must be. Yes, Rose.
I talked to Bonnie this afternoon, and they're still not doing good. So.
That sickness going around, and just pray for them. Oh, you know what? Hang on. I've got a stack full of prayer requests. I don't want to forget those. Where are they? There we go. Let's see here. Our friends in the Netherlands, Adrian and his wife, Katarina. Katarina is with their third child and due at the end of May, but they want us to pray for her because she has too much fluid, amniotic fluid, and so she has to have that checked quite often, wants us to pray for her. I told him that if it's due at the end of May, go ahead and she could be born on my birthday, which is May 30th. So anyway. And then this is from, let's see here. I can't read the name. Please keep me and my family in prayer. Still having chronic back and leg pain. Her husband suffers with stomach problems and back pain. Pray for the son and daughter to be strong in the Lord. Amen for that. And so anyway, pray for this family. God knows who they are. That looks like a robin, I think it is. And then we have, let's see here. This is Karen and her husband wants us to pray. He's having a knee replacement surgery coming up. Let's see here. And they're both retired. And so they're living on a little bit less income and wants us to pray for them. All right. And let's see, there seemed like there was somebody else, but I can't remember. But I think God knows who it is. All right. So pray, pick one of these and pray for them. Yes, Rose. Yes, pray for Linda Toomey. She, I called her yesterday, and she, if you notice, she's been walking around with a cane. Well, she's got a hip problem. And she's been kind of going back and forth with doctors on that, and they finally kind of got, they centered it in the hip. So she had to go yesterday, and what they do is they want to get, what is that, cortisone? So yeah, and they want to inject that right into the area. But in this case here, they had to use an x-ray to find out where the needle was going in, okay? They don't trust you to say, ouch, not there, you know. So they had to use that to inject the cortisone right inside the joint in the area that's affected. And I had a doctor tell me one time, they said it's better than taking the pills because when you take the steroid pills, your body just runs through it very quickly. But when it's actually in your cartilage, things like that, it lasts a lot longer. So that's why they do that. I would get some in my back every now and then. And so anyway, but this was a situation where at some point they're trying to stave off total hip replacement. And they said that they didn't really want to do it because they said those things last about 15 years, and if you're not really old, you'll have to go get another one. Okay? So stinks to be young, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, pray for her, and pray for Bonnie and Roy, and pray for, you know what, let's pray for Nancy tonight. Amen. Pray for her and lift her up. Yes. Ooh. Okay. Sure thing. Pray for her. Yes, Brian. Okay.
He's got five kids.
Oh, man.
He's been a pastor for a long time. Inspiration to me when
I was Amen.
Inspiration Jeff Cox.
Amen. When it hits the man of God. So just pray for him. Pray for, is he pastoring now?
Yeah.
Pray for his church.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you how the devil works. He loves to get the pastor down. And believe it or not, this is how it works. The devil cannot go and bypass a man that's standing like in a congregation or in a family. He cannot. It's just that's the rules. And in every situation, when the pastor's down and weak and frail and everything else, boy, he moves right in after that. So I would pray for this King James Church. Let's pray for this church. Because I've seen it 100 times, 1,000 times, that when the guy who's standing on the solid rock is out of the way, it's always some other guy that's not going to stand quite there. And that's when that stuff happens. So let's pray for this church, all right? Pray for one another tonight. Who needs it? Raise your hand. Say amen. If you've got the energy, raise your hand. Okay? Yeah, I remember. I don't want to say I got an easy job because there's some days when I don't. But I remember working out in construction and just coming in on Wednesday night and just awfully, awfully tired. And you still feel like you need to go to the house of the Lord. And so anyway, I appreciate you coming. Appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate those that are watching. And we just hope to be a blessing to you tonight. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember to pray for these requests. Yes, Linda.
Don't forget the family that went to Italy.
Yes, they left yesterday. I think I got an email from David Bradley and his wife, and their children are headed right into the heat of the battle. Headed, they're going to downtown Vatican City to hand out gospel tracts. All right. So you pray for them, all right? Pray for their protection, their safety. Pray that he that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And that's the thing about it. When you just decide to obey God, that's the success. Okay? You've already hit God's success area when you just decided to obey him, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate you bringing that up, Sister Linda. Let's pray for them. All right, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Mediator, our Savior, our friend, our brother. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the offices that Jesus holds and what he means to us. We thank you, Lord, that he's the preacher, the evangelist, the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, that he is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. We thank you, dear God, Lord, for the grace that you bestowed upon us as a result, Lord, of his dying on the cross and his resurrection. Father, we do pray for David and Anna and their family. Lord, Father, what good friends, Lord, they've turned out to be to us here. And we thank you for them, God. And Lord, we just love you so much for what they're willing to do and what they're wanting to do. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would just bless them and give them encouragement, give them peace in their heart, God. Give them, Lord, just grant to them, Lord, safety. As they minister to what is a very, very dark place of the earth. And Lord, the world doesn't see it that way, but Lord, it's that way according to your word. And we ask God, Lord, that you bless them. And Lord, bless these requests, these that have written in and wanted us to pray. Lord, Father, help them tonight and be with them and bless them and bless the needs, Lord, that are represented out there. Lord, even those, Lord, that are not with us tonight, they're just watching, Lord, would you just bless them and touch them and give them encouragement, God, Lord. They don't have any other place to go. And so, Lord, we all turn to you, Lord, and we ask you, God, to do things that we cannot do. We ask you, God, Lord, to reform us and to make us more in your image. Lord, to refine us, dear God, Lord, to bring us up, Lord, more in your image and in your likeness, God, and that the world would see Jesus in us. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you, Lord God, for the people in it. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and give them encouragement, God. And Lord, continue, Lord, to use this church, not just to be a blessing to everybody else out in the world, but Lord, to be a blessing to us here tonight. Lord, I need these people. God, these are my friends. These are the people, Lord, that I've worshiped with and fellowship with. And Lord, I thank you for them. And there's times, Lord, when I need their company. I need their help and I need their prayers. Lord, help me, dear God, to be a blessing to them. Help me to be an encouragement to them. And Lord, just use me in their lives, Lord, to just be a friend in Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord, for this place. And Lord, Father, for a good day's worth of work. And Lord, we're tired. Lord, we could be in bed, could have been home watching basketball. But Lord, we come into your house tonight and we just thank you, Lord, for the preaching and the teaching of your word. Lord, encourage us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, turn there if you would please, if you don't mind. And if you do mind, then turn there anyway. Okay? The preachers used to tell people there's lands all over the world where they don't have Bibles. I'm going to tell you now, there's churches all over this town that don't have a Bible. Okay, so bring your Bible and open her up and let's study it, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 17. This is the faith, what they call the Faith Hall of Fame. And we're learning, the Bible says these things are given to us as examples. And they're for our learning and for our admonition. So that we learn from these Old Testament people and these Old Testament stories, we learn how God deals with them, we learn about faith, we learn about grace in the Old. There is grace in the Old Testament, by the way. You just got to look for it. It's there. There's a gospel in the Old Testament. There's grace in the Old Testament. There's faith in the Old Testament. And the Bible says that these all died in faith, is what it says of them. They're not in heaven now because they kept the law. They're not in heaven now because they were obedient. They're not in heaven now because they were perfect and did everything right. They're in heaven now because they believed what God said. Okay? Just like Joshua and Caleb got to go to the promised land. There's your examples right there. They got to go because they believed God. And they hadn't actually done anything yet. They hadn't actually fought the battle that God said they was going to have to fight. They hadn't done that yet. They just believe God when they come back and they saw all the giants and the walled cities. And by the way, if you ever get a chance, you might want to write this down. Baalbek, Baalbek, I think is what it is or something like that, is one of those towns in that area that you ought to see the walls around this ancient city. You ought to see the massive stones around this city. It will blow your mind. Outside or in this area of, I think it's Baalbek or something like that. I may be getting that wrong. But anyway, the largest cut stone in the world is sitting there. Okay? It is huge. And it was built by giants. Got to believe the Bible. When you see this wall, when you see the stones that they laid for the building blocks of this wall, there is no way in the world humans did that work. Not a way. Okay? Can't do it today. Can't do it. Can't move those stones today. And so the thing is, Joshua went in, saw all that, came back and said, God said it was ours. Why don't we just go in and get it? Okay? They just believed God. These all died in faith. So in verse 17, let's pick it up in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, I want you to notice that the Bible says he was tried. That means there was a trial. His faith had a trial. It was tested. A faith that's not tested, it's not good faith. Faith has to be, in order for it to be good faith, it has to be tested. We have to go through it. We have to endure stuff. Caleb's got some kind of interest in Navy SEALs. Okay? I like that. Okay? I watched, I think Discovery Channel put on a deal about how these guys are trained. The recruitment process and the training process of some of these elite fighting forces that our armed forces put out, whether it's Navy SEALs or Green Berets or whatever. These guys, most of these guys that show up don't make it. They pick the elite of the elite. They pick guys who can die and get over it. Okay, is essentially what they do. These are tough people. And the thing is, they don't just grab 16 guys off a ship somewhere, put scuba gear on them and say, hey, go in and rescue our hostages over there and be back before dinner. They don't just do that. They take the guys who've had the trials and the trainings. These are the guys that have endured the hardness already. These are guys who, under extreme conditions, learn how to survive, adapt, conquer, and everything else, because they train in that every day. They train with death every day is what they do. And these are the best people that we have to offer in this country, and they're good at what they do. Somebody say amen. That's the kind of faith that I want. I don't mind my faith being tempted. Let me just kind of lay something out for you. Let's say that, and I'm just making this up, so don't quote me on it. Don't say Hoggard's picking dates. Let's say within the next five years, the Lord's coming back. Let's just think that in our mind, okay? And let's think that more than likely there's going to be the biggest, worst hardship, persecution of God's people that this planet has ever seen. Let's just say that could very well be a situation that we look at. And ask you the question, do you think you would make it through something like that? Do you think that you would make it through them coming into your home, taking your kids away and saying, as long as you worship Jesus, you'll never see these children alive on this planet again? Do you think you'd be able to handle that? Do you think that at some point in preparation for a Mark of the Beast system, that the government imposes something whereby you've got to register with the government, you've got to do all this stuff and everything in the world that we know is coming down the road just to get your paycheck or just to get your Social Security or your retirement benefits or all of this? There's a thing that I saw, was it yesterday morning? Yeah, it was yesterday morning or this morning, something like that. They've discovered the gene in human beings that make us fat. Okay, they make us gain weight. They know what gene that is. And here's what they did, Brady. They took some mice and they took that gene out. And now they said these mice can just eat and eat and eat and they never gain weight. Okay? Sounds good, doesn't it? Okay? Here's the problem. Your genetics is a book that God wrote. And it's forbidden in Scripture to take anything out of that book. I'm dead serious about this. Okay? Now, the Obama health care bill basically says that the government's going to end up managing the health care and deciding who gets what. And if you are overweight, they're going to determine it's your fault. Now, they have a remedy to make you lose weight, and it's this gene alteration thing. And as long as they're able to do that, they're going to force that on you, by the way. As long as they're able to do that, then you lose the weight, then they will keep you covered under the medical system. In other words, you'll still have medical things. You go see doctors and hospitals and things like that. As long as you will go along with their treatment process of having your genetics altered so you'll lose weight. That's coming. That is no doubt in my mind. That kind of scenario is coming down the road. How are we, what are we willing to give up right now? Do you think
You personally, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just asking you, do you think that if some of the worst things that we can see in this Bible happened while we were still here, do you think you would be able to endure it? And if the answer is no, then ask God to send you to training. Put you into boot camp. Have your faith tried and tested. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. God does it all the time with His people. A faith not worth dying for is a faith not worth living for. God forbid we would lose our lives. But you know what? So what? What we lose here, we gain up there. And so Abraham's faith was tried. It was on trial. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We're talking about he offered up his only begotten son. I love the language of the King James Bible. I know who that is now. It's a picture of Jesus, the only begotten son. By the way, if you look in the NIV, that does not exist. That connection and that doctrine does not exist. Anyway, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, I've talked about this before, that basically what the Bible's telling you, what was in Abraham's mind. What was in Abraham's mind is that I know for a fact that God said that through Isaac, he was going to fulfill his promise. Not through Ishmael. I've already been down that road. Ishmael and Hagar, they're gone. It's like I don't have them anymore. Isaac is all that I have. But my God said that it was going to be through Isaac that his promises were going to be fulfilled. And if I have to go lay my son on an altar, put a knife in his chest and end his life, God is going to raise him back from the dead, and God's going to fulfill his promise. That's faith. That's faith. It was tried. And the trial took place. The testing process took place. And Abraham passed the test. That's what we're dealing with. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter is an outstanding book for you to read if you want to understand about trials and being tested and having bad things happen to you. By the way, there's a theme that runs throughout the book of 1 Peter. And it kind of goes like this. There will be bad times that will come. If you're living right, then you're going to be blessed for those bad times. If you're not living right, the bad times come because you're not living right. Why would you whine and complain because things aren't working out right if you're not living right for God? And you know, that's how we do. We think, and this is part of the being a son or a child of God. If you're a child of God and God sees you sin, He's going to deal with you as if you were His son. How's He going to do that, Joe? Going to give you a whooping. That's what God does to His children. Somebody say amen to that one. That's what He does. If He loves you, He will take care of business with you. That's biblical. It's scriptural. This is how God deals with it. And if God sees us doing things that we ought not doing, and then we get punished from God for what, and we have to go through some bad thing, or God's just raking us over the coals, or whatever it is, a lot of times we'll get mad and complain that we had to go through that. And God's just going, what are you complaining about? I didn't send you to hell, did I? Thank you, God, for not sending me to hell. Because I know where sinners go. They go to hell. Thank you, God, because you got it better than you deserved to get it. That's what you got. Okay? So he says this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. How much mercy does God have? It's abundant. Overflowing. You go out there and you look on your tomato vines, and there's 25 tomatoes hanging on one vine. That's abundant. Amen. Go out there and look at your corn. There's five, six things of corn, ears of corn on one stalk. You're looking at that. That's a lot. Okay? You plant your strawberries, your blueberries, or your blackberries out there. Boy, when they come in, all you see is a big field of red sitting out there. That's abundant. Why, there's more than we know what to do with. That's the kind of mercy that God has, and don't you ever forget that. His mercy with us is abundant. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I have to sit here and try to tell you now, don't take advantage of it, don't sin, don't do anything. That's not a license to sin. I might mention that every now and then, but here's what I know about God. If God is really your Father and you sin, what's He going to do about it? He's going to chasten you. He's going to beat you. He's going to put the hurt on you so that I don't have to preach to you. Now, you better not sin, better not do anything wrong, because you're sitting there going, you know what? God got me for this. I'm not going to do that again. Somebody say amen. Amen. So anyway, He is blessed be the Lord, be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That's being born again. It's a born again experience unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what kind of inheritance do we have? An incorruptible inheritance based upon an incorruptible seed, an incorruptible word, undefiled. That, hey, if the devil succeeded in conquering the throne of God like he wants, that would defile the throne. God's not going to let him do it. God is not going to let him do it. And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by your obedience to God and strict. No, it's not what it says. How are we kept, Brady? By the power of God. You know where the power of God is? Right here. This is the power of God. A church that will revere this book, God's power will be in that church, and they will remain undefiled. That's what he's saying here. The first time a church starts walking away from the power of God, corruption immediately sets in. Immediately. So anyway, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Unto salvation, kept by the power of God. God does the keeping, and it's by His power, but it is through what? Faith. If you don't believe, you're not going to be kept. Plain and simple. You don't believe? You don't believe the Bible? You don't believe what God said? Well, I believe John 3:16. Isn't that enough? I don't have to believe that Genesis thing, do I? Noah's Ark, I don't have to believe that, do I? I mean, the scientists have proven that that's not really possible. They didn't prove anything. God said that's how it happened. Do you believe what God said? And you cannot, listen, this is not a smorgasbord Bible. A cafeteria Bible. You can't just walk in and say, you know what, I'll take the first three chapters of John. But, you know, that stuff in 1 Corinthians and that stuff in Leviticus, I don't want any of that stuff. That's not how it is. It's the whole thing or nothing. Anyway, kept through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, and it's always for a season, ye are in heaviness through manifold, which means many different types, many folds of temptations. Manifold temptations. So you ask yourself the question tonight. What's God doing with my life? I'm not interested in what you're doing with your life. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in how you think you're going to get yourself out of the mess that you got yourself into. Not interested in hearing about how you overcame this and how you did this and how you quit doing this a long time ago. I'm not interested in hearing that. What I want to hear from God's people is what Christ is doing in their life. Because you see, if we have our church services and we come in here and I say, now, does anybody want to give a testimony? And people start standing up and say, bless God, I quit smoking. Bless God, I quit drinking. Bless God, I quit doing this and I quit doing that. What does that sound like? What does that sound like to a bunch of people? Pat yourself on the back. You're doing a good job. Boy, look at us. Don't you wish you could be like us? Church like that. I don't want a church, and I've been in churches like that. I don't want a church where some lost man comes in, reeking of the world, wanting help, and sits and listens to us talk about how good we are. I don't want that church here. That church doesn't exist here. God won't let us get by with it because it's not honest. What I want to hear is, what is God doing in your life? How is God dealing with you? How is God laying a heaviness through manifold temptations on your life? How is God taking you through the survival course of Christianity? Good night, guys. Good night, Stacy. We love you guys. How is God taking you through that course? What is He teaching you that you've been too stubborn to learn? How is He awakening muscles and spiritual muscles in your spiritual life that you've been too lazy to deal with? How many of you know for a fact that when the burdens get heavy and things get hot, usually the first thing we turn to is prayer and Bible reading, which that's where we should have been all along. I go through this every deer season. I always tell myself, Wayne, that, you know, 3 months before deer season, I'm going to go out walking. Lifting some weights. Why? Anticipation of a deer, a 14-point deer. Matthew had to kill the biggest deer in the whole county and didn't want me to drag it out for him. I always tell myself, I'm going to walk a little bit and kind of build my legs up now, and that way I'll be ready for deer season. Never do it. And then deer season comes around, and I bend over to look at the deer, and I'm huffing and puffing and going, why didn't you kill a button buck like you did the first time, Matthew? What's wrong with you? That first deer he killed, we just kind of picked it up and put it in the back of the truck. Manifold temptations. Ask yourself the question, when you were in these trials, who allowed them? God did. Did He allow them because you're being disobedient to Him? If He did, then don't complain. Don't complain. You got it coming. In fact, you're getting it easy compared to what you should have coming to you. But number two, if things seem to be okay between you and God and you're going through these manifold temptations, guess what? God knows what's coming 3 months down the road or 6 months down the road or a year down the road. Do you not believe that? I'm preaching this thing on Hezekiah. I love this story. Because what happens is God sends a revival to Jerusalem. And I mean a real revival. And without any commandment whatsoever, people just start showing up with things to offer as sacrifice for the Levite priest. They had so much stuff coming in, Wayne, that they had to build like little buildings to put it in. And they had to, I mean, it was just a nonstop. The priests were dealing with this all the time. They just had the stuff in heaps. And we're talking about things that you could eat. Well, lo and behold, the enemy comes, surrounds Jerusalem, and cuts them off from everything outside the walls. And the anticipation here is that when the enemy surrounds the city and cuts them off, he's going to starve them out. Not going to happen, because God had already pre-supplied the city of Jerusalem with enough food to keep them alive for a long, long time. It's the army outside that didn't have any food and water because they stopped off the wells from running outside the city of Jerusalem. What I'm telling you is that sometimes the thing that God takes us through, whether it's good or bad, is an anticipation of what He knows is coming for us down the road. And He is training us and trying us and building us and strengthening us through these things and through these issues so that every day we're a little bit stronger. Every day we can do a little bit more. These soldiers coming over from Afghanistan and places like that with their legs all shot off, who think that there's no chance for them to ever have a normal life again. They go to these rehab centers, and I thank God that we've got the Army rehab centers that we got now as opposed to what they used to have before. They used to just give them a little cane and say, here you go. We put these guys back in rehab, and we train them that they can live a normal life after their legs have been shot and blown off. They work, they make these guys do what they didn't think they could ever be able to do again. They make them do it. And that's what God is doing, probably in your life right now. And we whine and complain and gripe about how it's hard. Back about a year and a half ago, something like that, when I had my shoulder surgery, I was just starting to get over the pain when they said, go to physical therapy, go to rehab. Okay? And I thought, oh man, they're going to put that TENS unit on there, the electricity, you know. But she didn't really care for it. I didn't like electricity. But anyway, they're going to, you know, strengthen those muscles in there. Well, that was at the end of the deal. At the beginning of the deal, they were making me take my arm and raise it up above my head. And for the first few weeks, I whined and griped and fussed and complained and everything else. And they kept telling me, if you don't do this, you're going to be stuck right here. Now, suck it up, buttercup. Okay? So you got to do it. It's do or die. Amen? So anyway, here's what he said. You greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith must be on trial. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe this Bible. I believe every word in this Bible. And I'm not trying to get into somebody's pre-trib or anything like that. I couldn't care less about those titles and those names. But I see some things in here in this book that lead me to believe that we're not just going to just zip on out of here unscathed. In fact, I'll be honest with you. God called me to preach. And I would rather preach when the times are hard than when the times are good. Do you know why? People will listen when times are hard. So I really wouldn't mind hanging around here for a little while to preach to some people, see some folks saved. Wouldn't you? I had a conversation with a guy today. He called and he was just talking about, you know, listening to us on the internet and learning so many things. And he said, I'm right there with you. And he said, I look into a lot of these things. And he said, I got family members. And he said, don't get me wrong. He said, they're good people. And he said, they're saved and everything like that. He said, they just don't seem to really take a particular interest in some of the things I've got to say. And he said, I don't know what to do about it. I said, you know what? Just hang on. Just hang on. And I said, just let it go. Who knows, at some point, your phone might ring one day. After some bad, terrible thing has happened in this world, your phone might ring. And it's one of your family members saying, what was that you were saying? And you can say, now let me show you, this is that which was spoken by the prophet. You can take them right to the scriptures and say, this is what's going on right here. No greater ministry that just a normal human being could have. And when the time gets rough in somebody's life, they can look to you and say, what was that you were saying at one time? Well, let me show it to you right from the scripture, right here, the word of God. This is what it says. That's the kind of ministry I'd like to have. Somebody say amen. People don't listen to me now. That's fine. I can handle that. We'll just wait to see what happens. Amen, Wayne. Okay? So bring it on. Anyway, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. See, that's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things what? Not seen. Same words right here. You love something that you have not seen. How then can you love God? By faith.
Okay? Ask me if I love the Easter Bunny. Ask me. Say, Pastor Mike, do you love the Easter Bunny?
Pastor Mike, do you love the Easter Bunny?
No, don't believe in him. See how easy that was? I don't believe in him. Doesn't exist. He's not real. Okay? You love the Tooth Fairy? No. No. Huh? No, it's not real. Okay? Sorry, Ryan. Just kidding. He's not real. I don't love things that don't exist. By faith, I love my God. I love Him. I mean, I love Him. And every time I get a thought, Brian, of some good thing that has happened to me, I go, God, I love you. That's not just talk either. I mean, that's just, I love Him. I love what He's done. And the only way I can love Him right now is by faith and believing that this is the Word of God and that it's right, every word. I've just decided that this is how it's going to be right here. And I love God by faith. And so anyway, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. In verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You see, your faith has an end. What is that, the end of faith? Salvation. It's not at the beginning of faith. Because who in here knows somebody that started out believing that don't believe anymore? I know lots of people. I've been in this church. I was talking about that Sunday morning with Sister Bernice. Those of us have been around here since the 70s and seen this building built and everything like that. I can name off people that came in and came out, and they're not ever coming back. So salvation, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. The final. Yeah, God may have saved you from your past. God may have saved you from going any further, any deeper into sin. But your final salvation has not happened yet. You're still alive in this flesh. He still hasn't returned for us yet. The final salvation takes place when we draw that last breath. That's when you're saved. That's when nothing is going to harm you ever again. And it's the end. It's at the end of your faith. Now, how's the devil going to attack? How's the devil going to attack each one of us here? The ultimate goal of the devil is to not get us to sin. The ultimate goal of the devil is to try to get us to quit believing. He will use sin and the deception of sin, because sins deceive. This Bible clearly says that it's not right to be a sodomite. But we have pastors who are sodomites. They've been in the closet all this time. And they haven't been able to get around this passage and these passages in the Bible that talk about that. So what happened? All of a sudden now, some new Bibles come up that don't have that strength of language in it. So now these pastors can come out, say they love God and they believe God, and they're sodomites. See what happened? The sin deceived, lied to them, and they bought into it. The thorns choked out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. No fruit given, no fruit taking place, no fruit to be born. And they quit believing. Faith is the end that brings salvation. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let me go through this very quickly, and I'll send this home. I'm not even partway through my notes. But that's all right. Because I figure we got time, and if we don't got time, we won't care. Amen?
Do we just go and sit at Jesus' feet and let him teach us? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which, what is that word there, is? The fiery trial which is to try you. Now again, I like using biblical language. I don't like stepping out of the boundaries of how the Bible says things. And I absolutely believe that upon every individual believer, a fiery trial tries them. I absolutely believe that. And your faith, again, if it's not been tested, it's not worth anything. But I also believe that there is coming a time, a fiery trial is coming. Let's say that it's a precursor to the translation. Let's just say that it is. Okay? Are you ready for that fiery trial? He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, don't think this is strange. Don't think that this is outside of the realm of what God said he was going to do. Does that make sense to everybody? Because some people are getting the idea from Joel and Joyce and everybody else that if you just walk in victory, then nothing bad will ever happen to you. They're being set up, aren't they? They're being set up for a fall. And then when something bad happens, it's like it blows their mind because they have been fed so full of the doctrine that says you're going to live in total victory all the time and nothing's ever going to come against you. They've been fed so full of that, Brady, that when bad stuff happens, they don't know how to deal with it. They can't handle it. They think it's strange. Like, you told me that it wasn't going to happen this way. And God said, don't think it's strange because I've been telling you all along it's going to happen this way. Did you not remember what John the Baptist said? He that is coming after me, his shoes I'm not worthy to latch, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? That's what he said. I've got notes up in my work area on what exactly this fiery trial is. And that's all it is, just a few notes on a piece of paper right now. That's an area of study that I'm going to get into at some point. Because I want to know. I want to know. And I want to be able, number one, to prepare myself. Number two, I want to be able to prepare that beautiful young lady sitting there. Well, beside Gloria, Lisa, and, okay. Well, I'm good, ain't I? Yeah, okay. All right, you've been giving it to me for 25 and a half years. Don't give me that. Anyway, I want to prepare my sweetie pie for hard times. I want to prepare Caleb and Matthew and my girls, even my son-in-laws. Okay? I want to prepare this church. What if we hit hard times? What if we hit hard times? What if Obama gets to do everything he wants to do? Ugh! Are we ready for it? Could we withstand it? Think it not strange, people. And so he says, but rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Did you see that? The fiery trial makes us partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed. You see when it's coming? Before his glory being revealed. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Look at that. The baptism of fire. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? When he came out of the water, what happened to him? There was a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. And what else? The Holy Spirit as a dove did what? Rested on him. Look at that language. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Jesus went through and came out on the other side, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. And he's telling you that's how it's going to be. And if God resteth upon you, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Go check this out. Go read up on this. Go think on these things. I know it's nice to think about all the nice stuff and all the lollipop Christianity and all the nice things that we can have as Christians. I love it. But God called us to war. Warriors need to be trained, or warriors fall quickly. Can I hear you say amen? Don't worry, you're tired tonight. Hopefully it won't happen tonight. Okay? Everybody go home, get some rest. Okay? God will wake us up about 4:30 in the morning, all right? Amen, Brady? That's what time you're getting up anyway, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Rest in the Lord, people. Rest in the Lord. And ask yourself, if I'm going through stuff right now, why am I going through this? Am I doing it because God's chastening me? Or maybe God is just being nice to me and he's training me for what's coming down the road. Think about that, all right? Let's stand to our feet.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins, And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.